It is Friday, August the 31st. This is Meet the Movie Press on the show this week. Alec Baldwin, Dad Joker. Dwayne Johnson's in big trouble. And everyone's in Star Wars Episode 9! Plus the week's big releases and the box office. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talks, Meet the Movie Press.
This is Meet the Movie Press. As I said, it is Friday, August the 31st. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, at Showbiz Simon. I am the host of this show, and it's the end of summer because it's the end of August, which means it's getting down to a nippy 80 degrees here in Los Angeles. So sweater weather, as we call it here in La La Land. So we have a bit of a change this week. Brace yourself, misogynists. we have a woman on the show.
So hi, everyone.
I'm expecting some tweets.
Me too.
Courtney,
I can't wait.
Welcome to
the show. Hi, everybody.
You're already throwing down the Me Too movement? Already?
I did not mean that.
You just started.
We have a lot to get through before we even get to that. So, Courtney, for people who don't know who you are, you're a very prolific critic and writer. You're very popular on social media.
I'm a very big deal.
You're kind of a big deal. Yeah. So, who are you? Where can we find you and where do you write for?
I'm freelance right now, but I mostly write for freshfiction.tv. You can find most of my reviews, interviews, some news stories up there too. And then you can also find me on Twitter, which I'm usually on all day, every day, at Lula Mae Bell.
But never in screenings.
Never in screenings.
And I will get to that when we talk about the big movie releases. With us, as always, is Dimitri Panos. Dimitri, where can we find you?
Welcome, Side Guy. I like that.
No, we don't need to do that again.
Side Guy? Okay.
No.
All right. Side Guy. Anyways, yes, my name is Dimitri Panos. You can find me here on Meet the Movie Press. It's always a pleasure to be here. Hey, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
It's awesome. I love it. And also, I'm on Popcorn Talks. Anatomy of a Movie, and today we'll be talking about Happy Time Murders.
So join, because we're the people that saw that movie last week. Underperforming.
Is it toss up between Happy Time Murders or
watching
the remake
Paint Dry?
or the remake of Papillon? Who watched?
Ooh, yeah. That's a lonely movie. So, if you want to be alone this weekend, go to see Papillon. Before we get started with all the week's big news, something we talked about on the show last week was the fact that, and we had some great responses to this, by the way, we're trying to get more diversity because the industry tends to be something of a sausage fest, especially this show, because what the industry doesn't need more of right now is middle-aged white men. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get more people of color, all very diverse spectrum, and also more women on the show. So if you have someone that you would like to see appear on the show who fits in that category, and also other great journalists as well that you would like to see appear on Meet the Movie Press, do please at Meet Movie Press on Twitter. We have our own Twitter account now. Please let me know exactly who you would love to see on here, and we'll check their availability and see if we can get them on. You are the very first.
Yay!
So welcome, Courtney.
Yay!
So we have a lot to get through. People are already saying that the show was a little bit late today because I was watching the Aretha Franklin tribute.
people actually joke,
but I am DVRing that, so I will be watching that later on
there
today.
There you go.
Okay, so we're going to usually this week we start with the big releases. We're going to put those to the end of the show this week, so stay tuned for those. Not a huge number of movies hitting theaters this weekend, but we are going to cover the ones that we've seen.
It's akin to really not much of anything.
We'll talk about that later.
I just did that.
Oh my god! So talking of dad jokers. Alec Baldwin joined the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie this week. In other news, Alec Baldwin left the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie this week. I was kind of disappointed because when I saw that casting, I was like, this is great. Then we were told that the character was going to be something a bit like a Donald Trump-style character. And I was like, no, that doesn't work so much for me. So then when he left the project, I wasn't entirely disappointed, but I would have loved to have seen him as the Joker's dad. So what did you guys think about this? Courtney, you first of all.
I think that they jumped the gun on revealing this casting news. Yeah. Probably the deal wasn't closed, and somebody was like, oh, we're almost there, and then they announced it, and Alec Baldwin was like, wait, and then it was just that revolving door of, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do this, but I'm glad we're not seeing the Donald Trump version of Thomas Wayne.
I agree.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I am certainly, as regular viewers of the show know, I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump. However, I think that would have been exceptionally lazy. And I think it would have been somewhat of a cheap shot.
Right.
And it's just not Thomas Wayne.
Yeah, totally not like Thomas Wayne.
It's not, yeah. I mean, if you're going in a different direction, that's one thing. But I think that's DC's biggest problem. It's like, you have a Bible to go from. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't mind Nick changes here and there. Marvel has done it. But you have the roadmap. Why change it? So, and you know, his deal was probably, I mean, whenever we read about these, oh, so-and-so had signed on. Well, they've already started filming already. So him coming on board and saying, hey, he's going to be in the movie. I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. That's a good thing for him. Mm. And then, hey, he's not going to be in the movie. I was like, oh, well, wow, sorry, we didn't get to know you. It's like, okay, bye. Because we'll see you in the next game show.
I think Alec Baldwin is having something of a really nice renaissance where he's got, obviously, you know, the Donald Trump character he plays on SNL, but then he appears in movies like Mission Impossible Fallout this summer, and then he also pops up in things like Black Klansman. And his kind of oeuvre is—he's kind of spreading it out a little bit. He's not doing too much comedy. He's kind of mixing it up. And I genuinely would have liked to have seen him do something that I imagine would have been a darker role, something more heavy, but still with an element of sort of maniacal levity to it. Because obviously, the Joker becomes the Joker, but you kind of want to make sure that there's some elements of that basic trait in the family pool. I think he would have done actually a really good job. So now Alec Baldwin is in, not in it. Who would you like to see play the Joker's dad?
I saw somebody float the idea of Jack Nicholson playing the Joker.
Yeah, okay. I kind of get that. Yeah,
playing that. But,
why would they think of that?
Yeah, that's such a stretch. Such a stretch. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe Al Pacino? Or is he too old now?
Well, I mean,
I don't want to be ageist.
De Niro's in the movie. Right. So it would be quite interesting to have Pacino in there somewhere.
They wind up at a diner.
But someone I was thinking of, and someone who was very prevalent in a load of movies early this year, Michael Stuhlbarg.
I love him.
Stuhlbarg, who was in movies such as Call Me By Your Name, that kind of thing. He is an amazing character actor.
He is.
He's, I mean, he's been everything since, like, you know, Men in Black movies. Right. He's done serious dramas. He really is a superb character actor and could really make something out of this that is a standout role without being a... Sometimes A-listers can be quite distracting in this kind of role. And I think he would fit that. He would elevate the role, really have a presence, but it wouldn't be too dominating.
Yeah.
Dimitri, any ideas on...
Oh, I've got to go with Miles Teller, of course.
Yes.
It's an inside joke. You know,
we have a running joke about Miles Teller on this show.
So, what's wrong with my boy?
Hey, I love you.
I love
Thank
Miles
you.
Teller. What's wrong with him?
Let's not go there.
You know, it's I don't know. That's a really good question. I never, like, once he opted out, again, I don't know what the role, outside of being Thomas Wayne, how are we going with this? Are they going to, like, try to connect the dot and say that Thomas Wayne is responsible for, quote unquote, creating the persona of the joke? I don't know what they're doing. I agree. They don't necessarily need to go A-list. But then again, to have the Marlon Brando-ish kind of thing that Superman, Richard Donner's Superman had, wouldn't be a bad way to go. So, what, you know, get George Clooney, who played Batman. That would be his, that would be
his redemption
for...
Oh, my God.
Well, know. I mean, one other... I don't know if they'd go with Clooney, but I do... I mean, that's not entirely kind of that nodding... I mean, would that be too much of a nod and a wink to the heritage? I mean, I would like to see, and I don't think this person would be right, but I would like to see someone come out like a Sean Connery style person who hasn't done anything for years, and where it's a small, and Christopher Plummer's available.
Yeah, but do they want it that old? Again, I don't know how old they're going.
Right.
Either.
What's the age range?
Well, I'm assuming it's kind of 50, 60s, but I mean, I don't know.
Businessman.
But if you're going to play around with it, I mean, Pacino is not exactly a spring chicken.
I know, that's what I said, is he too old?
So, you know, I think think he'd be good. But I mean, mm-hmm. there are a lot of, I mean, if you're going to start playing around with things, you can make it that older, really older father. Because I had friends in school whose dads were like in their 60s and 70s when they were teenagers.
But if he's in his 50s, how old does that make Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
At that point. Like, yeah. again, I don't know where they're going.
You have to make it all, until we know. But, I mean, I just think there's so many really good options out there to kind of explore.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a shame that Alec Baldwin's not going to be in it. Let's move on to, actually, before we go on to the next thing, let's just say a couple of people saying, welcome, Courtney.
Thank you.
Who's regularly active in the chat. Very pleased to see you on the show today, which is great. People asking about Predator. We're going to get to Predator later on because I did a 12-hour poll yesterday. On the at Meet Movie Press Twitter, so we're going to do that. But yeah, so Thomas Wayne Adam Baldwin casting. Thomas Alec. Wayne isn't Alec. Joker's dad. No, that was we were talking across purposes there. Glamoury asking, is a black Joker too far fetched? Well, we obviously know that in this case it's going to be Joaquin Phoenix, so we know this one's not going to be. I don't know. Is it too much? I could see a large number of people having an issue with that. Personally, I wouldn't be that bothered. But yeah, so a lot of people, the Joker movie is an Elseworld story, so they can do whatever they want because it's out of the main continuity. This is coming from Xeno Hour. Elseworld stories are a huge part of DC history.
True.
Glamour is saying, how's about Wesley Snipes? He could use more work, which we will get to
what the hell?
Later in the show.
Oh my gosh, so, it's like you've been in the room the entire time.
Deja vu all over again.
Also, I think that Glamour might be Wesley Snipes' agent.
Oh.
So we'll get to that later on. But Westy Kid saying they would prefer an A-list actor for Thomas Wayne. So lots of thoughts on that. We'll come back to those as well. Sky Patterson on casting for that role. Liev Schreiber, Christopher Ooh. Plummer, who I mentioned, Christian Bale, which goes along.
How about Thomas Jane?
Yes.
He would be good.
Jean Dujardin.
Ooh.
Now, I tweeted about Jean Dujardin just this week, saying, where in the world is Jean Dujardin? He was huge after The Artist.
Right.
And obviously,
he's
been
in a few French movies. I saw him in a really good
French Hollywood kind of was like, I don't know what to... Je ne comprends pas. I don't know what to do. Also saying Ed Norton or Guy Pearce. I think Ed Norton... No, I don't. They're just too close to Joaquin's age, not a million, but I mean, but I'll have to say, I fucking love Guy Pearce.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say Guy Pearce, then I'm like, yeah, great. John Hamm as Thomas Wayne, maybe. This is from Elias Connolly in there as well. And Xeno Hour asking, would Ray Liotta work? Yeah, ooh, Ray Liotta will work for not a lot of money, as we've seen in a lot of commercials recently.
Wow.
It's harsh, but it is true. we care, Ray. Because we love you. And finally, Sky Patterson on this also would secretly love to see Brad Pitt. I don't think so. Bradley Cooper. I would have loved to have seen Bradley as the Joker. I know that was discussed. Joel Edgerton, again, too young. John Krasinski, definitely too young. Edgar Ramirez as Hal Jordan in the DC Cinematic Universe. I don't think that's going to happen, but interesting casting. So we'll see. Okay, let's move on to Star Wars Episode 9. Two major pieces of casting this week. A lot of speculation over who these people are going to play. Matt Smith has been cast in a key role.
Bow ties are cool.
Yes, and Dominic Monaghan also joining Episode 9 this week.
Yeah.
This cast is shaping up really nicely.
Did you think they were going to have a bad cast, though, for a Star Wars movie?
No, I tell you what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to do something that they've done with, and I think they've had in some previous movies like Rogue One, where they were going to have a few tentpole or well-known names and then fill it out with sort of lower-level, lesser-known and new cast. I was kind of expecting a bit more of that with Episode 9.
Hmm.
It doesn't seem like that's what we're getting. It seems they're going for really recognizable names pretty much across the board again.
Recognizable enough.
Yeah.
Pardon me. So, yeah, I mean, they're recognizable enough. I think it's really smart casting. I think it's great for both those folks' careers. And I have no idea who or what they're playing. Mm. It could be under makeup or, I mean, Simon Pegg, unrecognizable, right?
Bit harsh.
So... Well, he was unrecognizable Jedi.
I'm kidding. He's
Force
had a couple
Awakens.
Of flop movies, but that's
no. I refer to Star Wars.
Yes.
So you know, we don't know. And I think that's great that we don't know. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Until the movie comes out, you know, or as I'm going into it. So I think it's smart. And what they're also doing that, they really are opening up the casting to, like you said, they're recognizable enough. When you think of Star Wars, the original, right?
Mm.
They pretty much stuck to their core people. Mm-hmm. They added Billy Dee Williams in Empire.
Yeah.
And then when we get to Return of the Jedi, it's still our core cast. Yeah, we had some people in the peripheral, but nobody that we recognized, right? And they were doing that same thing with this, the back nine, let's call it.
Mm.
So we had our cast in Force Awakens. They sort of opened it up by Laura Dern coming into it.
But it was divisive.
She was divisive.
I liked her.
I thought she was great.
Big Dern fan.
She was really good.
Yeah.
We know she ain't coming back. So I don't mind that they're opening this
up.
I don't know. When you hyperspace into a dreadnought. Oh, don't start.
Courtney.
I just get a little worried with the whole Matt Smith casting. Because remember when he was cast in Terminator Genesis? Dare I mention that property?
There was nothing
movie. There was. Like, he's the better for not being in it. But they made a big deal about announcing his cast. And then he was just missing in action through the whole movie.
Well,
and so it was like, okay.
Well, he had posters. He had the whole lot.
He had
lot.
Character posters. He was in Entertainment Weekly. He was in a whole spread and stuff. And
then, publicity.
Yeah. And so he was gone. So I get a little nervous about this, too. That's all I can think of. He's a great actor.
He's a great actor. It's time. I mean, he's been trying domestically to do something. Again, I think it's a smart choice for both of those people. Dominic Monaghan, who'd worked with JJ.
Yep.
And Lost, right? It's good for him. Like, what the hell has he been doing?
He's great and he hasn't burnt. He hasn't been, you know, he's still being given roles in Hollywood, but we're not sick of seeing his face.
No.
He's like a glass of cold water.
On a hot day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On a hot day.
You can see right
I suddenly become a southern maid. I have no idea why I've become that character. For me, as you say, I mean, Courtney was saying how great an actor Matt Smith can be, and he can be. I mean, we've seen in things like The Crown, and he was superb as
Pride
Doctor
and Prejudice
Who.
And Zombies.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Awesome.
Yes.
He was in that. He was great in that.
That's right.
But I just think, and I think he was horribly miscast. Everyone was horribly miscast in Terminator Genesis. No, it's fine. I mean, I've actually revisited that like a number of times, like an ex-girlfriend, where I'm like,
sure.
Surely she can't have been that bad. And you're like, oh, she was worse.
Bad.
You know, it's like maybe it was me, maybe I was on an uncomfortable sofa. But that was just not a great movie, and he was horribly miscast in that. I mean, for me, it was actually Jason. That again was horribly underused in that movie, but I would be really interested to see what they do with Matt in this. I mean, I was really pleased when he was cast because he's a reliable and malleable pair of hands and a malleable talent. He can do so many different levels of acting within a range that it's never bombastic and it's never too contained.
Do you want to try to do a silly Star Wars fandom 45-minute poll? Is he going to be Rebellion or Empire?
Do you know what? I don't want to open that up because, I mean, the thing is that one thing that spoils the Star Wars movies to me, you know, and I like the Star Wars movies, I'm the world's biggest fan, is the fact that sometimes I know too much going in. And
I know nothing.
And that's the way I like it with these movies. We know too much about stuff these days.
Life.
But casting, I think, is really good, Matt Smith.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
It's
good
really
for good. Him, too, though.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good for him. I think it's good for the cause.
So I'm going to ask Courtney this. Why do you think Hollywood hasn't used Matt Smith more? Because he's done a couple of movies, and he's obviously done The Crown and stuff like that.
Right.
He is popular. People like to see him on screen. Why do you think Hollywood hasn't given him more movies?
I don't know. If I start speculating on that, I'll be down a rabbit hole for hours, and then I'll be, in a fetal position. Like, why don't they hire my favorite actors? I don't know. Maybe they just don't know how to use them. And I think that's the case with a lot of actors and actresses that are out there where people just don't know how to use them. If somebody would write specifically for them, I think that's always a great thing. But it seems to be so rare.
Well, it's like Laura Dern was kind of stuck in a trap for 15, 20 years where she would pop up every now and again, but nobody really had... She was always great in whatever she was in, but nobody had the right material. No, the characters weren't quite right, or she just simply wasn't getting the roles. And now, suddenly everybody knows exactly what to do with Laura Dern and everything. Reese Witherspoon is another one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
she's
it was
doing
like...
commercials now, too, though.
But it's... Yeah, she's doing phenomenally well. But yeah, it's kind of... It's just weird that Hollywood kind of doesn't... And then one person does a good job, and they're like... Oh, yeah, that's how you do it.
Plus, wife from Matt Smith, and I think too, like, because you say he's popular, and again, I mean, I'm a Doctor Who fan, so I mean no disrespect here, but Doctor Who, as popular as it is, it's really not that popular. I mean, when you think about it, yes, it gets great ratings for the Sci-Fi Channel,
yeah,
but so didn't Sharknado. So it his popularity. Is it a ceiling where domestically here in the States, a lot of people don't really, they're not into Doctor Who. So I think that he needs that one project that you said, this could be it, where they find something for him. He can do a comedy, doesn't necessarily need to be in a drama, but he is versatile.
Well, it's interesting when you say about his popularity over here, because you remember a couple of years ago he was on the front cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Sure.
And that at the time was the highest selling copy of Entertainment Weekly ever. That photo shoot was done in West London, well, Northwest London. And I produced that photo shoot for Entertainment Weekly. And I did...
Was that for his leaving Doctor Who?
Well,
that one?
It was... Just as it was, they did the photo shoot, and then it was announced that he was leaving. And it's like, everybody loves Matt Smith! Matt Smith's leaving. So it was when he had the stamps, the British postal stamps, done over Doctor Who, and it was the anniversary of Doctor Who. And then not long after, he announced that he was actually leaving, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, no, Matt Smith is great, and he's also a really, really, really lovely guy. People are saying the Star Wars talk, so I'm off to get a coffee, which is fine. Not everybody likes Star Wars, but you know what? There's so much Star Wars news, we've got to cover it. We're not going too deep in it, but we're going to finish on that. Glamoury's saying, what if the Joker's dad, going back to the Joker, is a woman, Meryl Streep? Kind of like a Mrs. Doubtfire, kind of Glenn Close did a couple of years ago, played Dobbs. Glamoury's saying, I think my life's purpose is to piss off the fanboys. I think you're going to do that, Glamoury, with comments like that. Sky Patterson saying, also come time for December 20th, 2019, when Star Wars Episode 9. If the film is over 3 hours, 185 minutes, and there's a lot of character development, lots of action scenes, and a good story, Sky will be fine. Westy Kid saying, Reese Witherspoon is a talented actress. Her performance in Walk the Line was 10 out of 10. She truly deserved that Oscar, absolutely. And then Hollywood had no fucking idea what to do with her for about another 10 years.
She went off and founded a whole lifestyle brand. 100%. And is like, she's an entrepreneur now.
She's hugely successful producer and exec producer and writer.
Absolutely, but they knew what to do with her. You know, in romantic comedy.
She was stuck in the romantic comedy.
Then she gets out of that and it's like... Well, I don't want to do a comedy, but I can do drama, and then people don't necessarily gravitate to the drama. But she did something extremely smart, like you said. She
100%
shingles, she produces, and
do you know what? Sometimes it's actually quite helpful to go into the shadows for a little while and to have a. I mean, Jennifer Garner did it. Jennifer Garner's, she's kind of coming out of it. She needs the right project.
Yes, she
did a great movie last year that unfortunately no one saw. It was an indie movie, Palo Alto.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, nobody did. And it was actually one of the best things that she's done in 20 years.
Palos Verdes. I also didn't see that one.
Great cast. Yeah. And it did nothing. It was such a shame. And then one final thing on this. Scott Boswell saying, love all the Matt Smith talk. Second favorite Doctor. Yeah, seriously, if you're looking for people who support Matt Smith, this is very much the show that does that.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's move on to another thing. Dwayne Johnson's Big Trouble in Little China won't be a remake, but will be a continuation. This is a project that we hadn't heard a lot about for quite a while. Big Trouble in Little China, as loved as it is, was not a hit movie. No. It was a fucking bomb. I still love that movie. I revisit it on a regular basis. I've got one of the Arrow video sets from the UK. I have loads of extras and stuff. It's just a genius movie. That's a movie I went into not knowing anything about it. Mm-hmm. Randomly bought a ticket when I was a kid and absolutely loved it. What do you think about, first of all, the fact that it's going to be a continuation rather than a remake? And also the fact that this is now kind of the second, maybe third film series that, possibly more than three actually, that Dwayne Johnson has done not remakes, but continuations of. So he did, obviously, Journey Jumanji. 2, Jumanji. He did this.
Right.
Guessing you can't really call the Fast and Furious franchise that, even though he's taking it in a different direction. But what do you think about this, Courtney, first of all?
I'm super excited about this. I only heard about it this week that it was even a thing that was happening. And I like that it's a continuation versus a flat-out remake. I hope they're not saying it's a continuation and then really we all sit in the theater and ta-da, it's a remake.
Yeah.
But I really hope they bring in, they've got to bring in Kurt Russell, because that
it's
will
be
just
there.
Oh my god, that will send everyone into hysterics.
Yeah, and that's my whole problem. I mean, he needs to, Jack Burton needs to be in the movie if it's going to be a continuation. So just for me, I'm not, just because you announced The Rock is in this, I'm not on board yet. Like, I just, I want to know, because, again, I think that Big Trouble in Little China has become, like, this really big cult following kind of movie. A lot of people have really grown to like it. Not unlike, say Monster Squad, which has really built up an audience through its many years. I don't, it necessarily wasn't the huge colossal bomb, I don't think, that you painted out. It didn't do well because people didn't know what it really was. I, like you, I went in there only
seeing trailers. Didn't know what to do with it.
No.
They just didn't know what to do with it.
But they learned to know what to do. And they got into Kurt Russell and Jack Burton and all the chop socky kung fu and stuff. So it's got this cult following that deserves a little bit of respect. And you have to stay. The other thing, too, is I want to know, is John Carpenter going to be involved? Look, if you're getting Kurt Russell and Carpenter involved, I'm all in. If they are taking a back seat, I'm not in. Because to me, it's like, why? Why? If they didn't get it then, they're not going to get it with The Rock. And the people who are going to get it are Kurt Russell, John Carpenter fans.
On the flip side of that, and Courtney, we'll come to you in a second. I think the flip side is the fact that if they didn't get it then, why would they get it now? I think it's kind of the other way around. They will get it now. And I think then if they go back and look, they will get it more. Obviously, it's not going to help the box. Obviously, you can't go back and bend time and go back in time and buy a ticket. But I think it's going to frame that. I mean, I think that's a great standalone movie on its own, Big Trouble in Little China. And I would much rather see a continuation than a remake. I absolutely agree Kurt Russell should be in there. Maybe The Rock can marry Kurt Russell's daughter or something and take over the company, that kind of thing. Maybe Kurt Russell gets kidnapped. They have to rescue him. I think there's a lot of fun that can be had with this. And I'll be honest with you, from Jumanji, which I thought was going to be appalling, I really thought it was going to be... Sure. I thought it was such a bad idea. I thought it was going to be awful. And it was actually one of my favorite movies of last year.
Right.
And it was a massive success.
It's better than it has any business being.
Yeah. And I'm the negative Nancy like here. I mean, I didn't hate it.
It's
it
okay.
Didn't,
you love
it didn't
Miles
make,
Teller. It's all right.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm just saying, for me, Jumanji, it didn't make me angry. It's about the best I could say about it. Big Trouble, for me, I like Big Trouble better than I like Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying, Simon, I can go back to Big Trouble in Little China. And I'll say, not a perfect movie, but it definitely has. It delivers
so
the
fun.
Goods.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun.
So much fun.
You have this strong cast, like a good Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
It
was like adult Goonies for me. It was like adult Goonies.
Formative genre. Homage.
It was a lot of
everybody
fun.
Loved.
It was what the Golden Child never could be.
I love the Golden Child. I love the Golden Child.
Yeah, I wasn't.
But Big Trouble in Little China, I think, if I had to choose between the two, I'd watch Big Trouble in Little China.
So, Courtney, your thoughts on this?
I'm still excited about the movie. I really hope it'll do well. I think it'll have that fan, but it already has the built-in fan base from the cult classic audience. So I think they will go into it, but maybe with a little more trepidation and fear that it won't get it right. And I'm like you, where it would be interesting to see John Carpenter, what his thoughts are. If it gets, blessings don't really mean anything so much anymore.
Because sometimes it's not even in their hands. It's a property that someone's bought.
Right, right. So I would be curious to find out like what his thoughts are and where the story would go. But I don't know. I feel confident about it, but I have nothing to do with the movie.
Of all the suggestions of sequels, continuations, and remakes that come out, this is one that probably concerns me the least. Another movie, completely unrelated. animated that I would love to see a remake of, actually. And I think The Rock would be great in this, is Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
It was Dolph Lundgren, and it was, God, who was it? And, God. Oh, God.
Sorry, I'm
Brandon
no
Lee. Brandon Lee was in that, and I love that. That's a great action movie. Great movie. Okay, let's move on to something else. People in the chat responding to this. Xeno Hour wanting to know, the real question regarding Big Trouble is going to be, is Kim Cattrall going to return?
Good point.
They have to have, I think, a strong female who would either be
sure
a replacement or some kind of character and taken a slightly different way, because she was kick-ass but kind of a damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. We need to change that a little bit.
Modernize it.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I think that would be quite interesting. But Sky Patterson saying on these points, I believe that if John Carpenter is producing and scoring the film with Wes Ball, James Wan, or someone else directing, and Taylor Sheridan and Jane Goldman writing the screenplay, yes, please. That is a heady mix, Sky. Mm-hmm. Sky's wish lists for movies mm-hmm. are insanely good, but yeah. quite difficult to achieve.
Yeah. But
very difficult.
Hey, he's a fan. Yeah. I love it.
Xeno Hour reminding me that it was Brandon Lee in the movie. Yeah, sorry, I slipped my mind temporarily. Filmer Jamie saying, Tron Legacy and Blade Runner 2049 is why I doubt this ever gets made. Tron Legacy and Blade Runner 2049 make me realize that this probably will get made. because as much as I love Tron Legacy and I thought Blade Runner 2049 was beautiful, that was not a great movie to me. So, do you know what? If those can get made, this can get made. Someone mentioned
I'm
Wesley
surprised
Snipes.
Blumhouse wouldn't try to do this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that is
true.
Like,
right. You know,
Blumhouse Corner.
Blumhouse Corner.
It would have been a great
yeah,
thing.
I mean,
right in their
it
wheelhouse.
Would be. It is in their wheelhouse. Coming off what I'm going to predict it right here, that the Halloween continuation is going to be a success. And that's why. I mean,
they're saying at the moment there's not going to be more sequels, but I think if it's a hit, they will make more.
But here's the thing. They did the smart thing. You bring, like, this Halloween movie wouldn't be getting the buzz it's getting if Jamie Lee Curtis were not in it.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
So if you get Kurt Russell to come back mm-hmm. and John Carpenter to come back, boom, you've got your publicity promotion and you've got excitement from fans across the board.
Fishman Dildo, real chat room name. John Carpenter's approval, not a fish, maybe a man, probably not a dildo. John Carpenter's approval is valuable because he's loved and respected by many, absolutely agree. John Harrison saying, who cares about Big Trouble in Little China? I do. You do.
I do.
And you do.
I do.
And lots of people do. We don't all have to care about the same thing. That's totally fine. Okay, a lot to get through. We've got 20 minutes left on the show. Let's go to Wesley Snipes.
What?
Talking to people who are available for work. Wesley Snipes
again
this week.
Maybe you can get him next week.
Maybe I can. He's actually outside. He's waiting. He's been waiting for 2.5 years. Wesley Snipes.
He's working on the sequel to Passenger 57.
Let's talk about Wesley Snipes. Passenger 58. That's a great movie.
It's fine.
That's
sure.
a great movie.
It
yeah.
is fine.
Although I've used the phrase always bet on black, and people who haven't seen the movie, as in like pretty much anybody under the age of 25,
right?
It's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I'm
like,
Passenger
57.
It's
They're like,
shame.
No, you're just rambling. These are just numbers and names and quotes. And I'm like, okay, great. Old man Thompson will just take him off in the corner and quote to himself.
Get off my lawn.
Pointless Rain Man. Shouting at the sky. Wesley Snipes is talking again about Blade, saying he would go and do another Blade movie. People saying this week, a lot of talk about this online. People saying, well, you know, he's not really a star now, so would he really sell it? Other people saying it would be absolutely genius to have him back as Blade. Now is a great time to have him back. I think I'm more inclined to go with the latter. I think it would be a genius time to have Wesley Snipes come back and be Blade. I mean, there's only a handful of other people that I think would be good as Blade. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I was a fan of Blade. I was a fan. I was a fan. I was a fan of Blade 3. I know a lot of people didn't really like that movie. What do you think about this, Courtney? First of all,
I would watch another Blade movie with Wesley Snipes in it.
Mm.
But if they did want to do like a passing of the torch sort of thing, there's a lot of other actors that could play that role.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it was Expendables 3 at that junket. Like, everybody wanted to talk to Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
and the rest of the cast that was up on the dais in the press conference, like, barely got any other questions. Everyone wanted to talk to Wesley Snipes.
Whenever he turns up an event in Hollywood, people want to talk to him.
Got mobbed. Yeah. And so I think it would be a good time for him to come back. I mean, the fandom is there, and the audience would be there. I don't know what the story would be. I've only seen the first Blade, so... Sorry, guys.
He basically kind of does the same thing in
sure.
three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, Blade 2, I think, is the best.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right. I think that's...
But then it's Blade, and Blade 3 is the least good of them, but I think it's still very entertaining. Very entertaining. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think bringing them back, look, whether it's a pass off of the torch, which, to expand upon that, he would still need to be in it. Mm-hmm. Who do you find... to be the younger person who's going to carry the mantle.
Yeah.
Even if it's not, if it is getting to a point where Blade has found immortality, per se. Mm-hmm. Certainly they made 6 Underworld movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do another Blade.
6 of which weren't actually required.
So, yeah, I think obviously for Wesley Snipes, yes, he's open for business. Yeah. He'll show up to the opening of an envelope at this point.
Yeah.
And I think, why not? If we're talking about Big Trouble in Little China, why not Blade?
Well, I mean, I think for me, there are two people that I would love to see if he wasn't Wesley Snipes. I would love to see Mahershala Ali.
I was going
to
say him. Yes.
And again, I mentioned him last week. Someone in the chat actually mentioned his name last week in relation to someone else that I mentioned to do with Dracula, if we were going to have a black Dracula, Sterling K. Brown. I could see Sterling K. Brown, because I loved him in Hotel Artemis.
Sure.
Me too.
I genuinely love that movie. I know nobody really saw it. I just think those guys would be so good.
Oh my God.
In that role. And they would update it and they would kind of keep it. Mm-hmm. And I just think it would be a really nice way to carry it on.
You know who else would be really good was the gentleman that is in the first Purge. I forget his name. But he turned out to be the...
Yeah.
He was the mob guy.
Right. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
he ends up
being the action hero at the end.
Right.
And I was like, this guy's got presence. This guy's good. He can handle action. He could be a good Blade too.
Yeah.
And again, you're bringing somebody very fresh.
Mm-hmm. What about Daniel Kaluuya?
Also great.
Sure.
Also great choice.
I mean, currently doesn't
have the...
I would
watch them in Star Wars movies too.
Yeah. No, 100%.
I'd watch them in any movie.
Yeah.
They could be a Big Trouble.
I'm so excited about Widows.
Me too. Oh my God.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be the Ocean's 8 we were all hoping for.
Sky Patterson's done some casting again, talking about Blade. We're going to move on from this in just a second. Michael B. Jordan, great choice.
Yes.
Sterling K. Brown, we've already mentioned. Trevante Rhodes.
Yes.
Good. Again, hasn't
two
really...
Thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up. Trevante hasn't, again, an example of people who haven't been given the roles they deserve off the back of something successful.
He's such a nice guy.
He's such
too.
A lovely guy. Did him for 12 Strong.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
The nicest person.
Right.
And yeah, Mahershala Ali or Imari Hardwick as well as Blade in the MCU would be really, really good. And Wesley Kidd saying, yes, I agree with Sterling K. Brown. Sterling's got a presence, I think, that Wesley Snipes had as Blade that I think would just be a really nice fit. So good. Really, really good there. Okay, a couple of other things to touch on. We've done Wesley Snipes, Sherlock Holmes 3. It's entering development. Plot clues have been revealed by Jude Law. Robert Downey Jr. has been tweeting. Now, I mean, I liked the first two Sherlock Holmes movie. I just think we've left it a little bit too long for this now. It's going to be 10 years pretty much since the last one came out. I think that was 2011.
Yeah.
So really we're looking at this. Is this going to be 2020, maybe 2021?
Is it Guy Ritchie again, or is it
He hasn't signed on, but it's likely that he'll return. Mm. I enjoyed the first two. I'm like, maybe we should just leave it at that.
I like the first one a lot.
Right.
The second one, I don't remember much anything about it, except it was...
Pretty
sort
much the same thing.
Same thing.
With the lady.
Yeah.
Well, no, but it really tied into the books too with the fall. I forget what they call the falls, but Moriarty and Sherlock Holmes and death fall over the falls. But, a Sherlock Holmes fan will be able to tell me what story that came from and what the name of the falls are. I liked both of them. I'd be in for this one. You are right, though. It's taken a while for a sequel.
I feel like we already have, like, a definitive Sherlock now Benedict Cumberbatch. So we've got that iteration, and also Elementary is sort of a...
very popular TV show.
Also very popular. So we have those two going, so I'm not sure what a third Sherlock Holmes, like, period set piece would be in this, since we already have two really smart, good, intelligent, greatly written, like perfectly written shows. So I don't know what the third's going to look like.
Well, the Benedict Cumberbatch, though, we don't know if that's coming back. Yeah. It's not on. Elementary, never watched.
I just think we should. So, I mean,
I don't see why not. And I think it, to be honest, I know it's another franchise, but it would be nice to see Robert Downey Jr. out of the Iron Man suit.
Well, we've We've got Dr. Doolittle coming up, which he's been in production on for a while.
And I like him as Sherlock Holmes. And Jude Law, I think their chemistry was much better than I expected. So, I don't know. I'm in, but it's been a little while.
Glamour is saying Sherlock Gnomes ruined that IP. Fair point. Fishman Dildo saying again, Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law have good chemistry. Wish they'd work on another movie together. I'd be 100% up for that.
Totally.
And Filmner Jamie. Hey, Filmner Jamie. The problem is the BBC show overshadowed the film. Both came out around the same time. I agree. And a Westy kid giving props to Fishman Dildo. Yeah, you're good with actors. True.
Yes.
True.
I've never known a better casting Fishman Dildo in my entire career.
Yeah.
Okay, let's run through a few things. Run through a few things because we've got to get to our favorite films of the summer, biggest disappointment of the summer. We've got to get to the poll results this week, and we've got to get to the big releases. Okay, so touching on these, Top Gun 2 moved to 2020 this week. Quiet Place sequel for May 15th, 2020. Top Gun 2 moving. No real surprise there for me. You guys?
I'm not surprised. I would have, you know, I would have thought that Paramount really would have pushed for next summer. I mean, but the cast isn't getting younger either. I mean, pushing it a year. Listen, if it makes it a better movie, I was all in to begin with. If it makes it a better movie, okay.
Right. It depends on what it's being pushed for.
Yeah.
If it's like writing, yes, wait. Don't film something that is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch another terrible sequel.
It seems to be... pointing.
Yeah. For me, it's one of three things. It's either going to be waiting for casting availability on somebody, it's waiting for rewrites, or there's another kind of thing that they're waiting for, but I don't know. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 officially on hold in the wake of the James Gunn firing. That came last Friday.
Shocker.
No real surprise there, but a lot of people... James is obviously not coming back, but I know James is looking at other projects right now. Michael Jackson's Thriller 3D is getting an IMAX theatrical release for the first time ever, which I'm very excited about. I remember seeing that on TV as a kid, absolutely loved it, and brilliant. I mean, I was a fan of Michael Jackson.
Do you
but
know
really...
the dance moves?
No,
I know this. I know the Scooby Doo.
Yeah, but yeah. So I mean, that is great. But to me, they're missing a trick by not putting Moonwalker with that as like a double
feature,
because that would have been good. Because Thriller's only like half an hour long. Mm-hmm. I would have stuck it in front of Moonwalker because Moonwalker is a highly underrated piece of musical cinema.
Yeah,
but there you go.
Yeah.
That's just me. You guys, I mean, would you go and see that? I would pay to see that.
Oh yeah,
it's probably the last time we'll get to see that on the big screen.
Yeah.
Also, why not do a run of shorts for Michael Jackson? Like, do that in Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Do Bad as well. Have a really good run. Wesley Snipes was in Bad.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Snipes was in Bad.
I'm trying to think. Why am I forgetting the name of the 3D Lucas production Disney?
Oh, Captain EO.
Captain EO.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney won't give that up, but I don't know.
They did bring it back to the
Disney
parks for a while,
and
which
I saw
was great.
It was a lot of.
It's great.
A lot of
really, really cool. Angelica Houston was in there.
Yeah.
I love Angelica
Houston.
She's great. John Harrison saying Moonwalker is a classic. Absolutely. So this is great. So let's get on to three favorite and one disappointment movie this summer, because the summer season is officially over August 31st. Because, they've started putting pumpkin in everything, so you know it's the fall. There's pumpkin literally in everything. Okay, Courtney, let's start with you. Just remind everybody, by the way, Courtney, where we can find you on Twitter.
You can find me at Lula Mae Bell.
Fantastic. Okay, so three favorite movies of the summer and one disappointment of the summer.
So my three favorites are Eighth Grade, which I hope everybody goes out and sees. I love that movie so much. I felt like it really captured...
You tweeted a lot about that movie.
I love that movie so much. I feel like it really captured my youth, even though I did not grow up, as you can see, I did not grow up in the time, in the digital era. But I really felt like emotionally it captures what everybody goes through at that age. male or female, feeling awkward and weird and like you stand out. But I just love that movie. Mission Impossible Fallout was another one I tweeted a lot about. I loved that movie so much. Yeah, girls like action movies. Who
what?
Knew?
What?
I know. What? I know. I'm glad everybody's sitting down.
Good. Next to be wanting women in movies.
In the movies.
In
right.
movies.
Yes.
No.
This is
yes.
how it starts. This is how it starts.
But yeah, I love that movie. I thought everybody's great in that movie. Tom Cruise is so fantastic in that movie, too. Rebecca Ferguson. Just
awesome.
The culmination of the female roles. Everything was working. The bathroom scene's my favorite. Next up is Crazy Rich Asians, which I've seen 3 times now, and I want to go back again.
I don't think there's a single movie in the last 2 years that I've seen in a movie theater 3 times.
Really?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is like the thing that's got me. So I loved that. My disappointment is the documentary McQueen. I don't know if either of you saw that. Probably not. But I'm big into fashion documentaries. Women like fashion. Who knew?
What?
I know. I'm shocking everybody today. But
fashion, gateway to the gays.
So I was a little disappointed in that one.
Yeah. It's funny because that got a lot of...
I think it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it got a lot of talk up. And I'm always... Sometimes you don't know with documentaries or films that are made about iconic people whether it's genuinely how people liked the product, the content, or whether
the
it's
person.
The person.
Right. And I think it felt like it's more the person, who is a genius.
Yeah,
I'm not going
fantastic,
to...
Fantastic.
I'm not going to throw his talent under the bus. Mm. But... And I like the way it's structured... But I just didn't feel like it showed me anything I didn't already know about him.
Yeah.
And his designs are incredible. The shows, you see clips, footage from the shows that are beautiful. It is art. But I don't know, just it really felt like it follows the same behind the music path. And maybe that's what everybody's fame and fortune is like. But it really didn't show me anything I haven't seen before. It didn't change the game as far as structure either.
Something, so there's a shame in that. Then
yeah,
that happens
so,
or doesn't happen. Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed. It's fine, but I was disappointed.
So Dimitri, your 3 favorites of the summer and your 1 disappointment.
Oh my God, it was so, that was really difficult for me because we had a conversation earlier, like when are we starting summer? Are we starting it in May or are we starting in
yeah,
April?
It's really basically, I consider summer, something to start now, it's April, as soon as the first Marvel movie drops.
I'm going to cheat a little because I want to go far back because I don't want movies to be forgotten.
Don't go too far back. We don't have a lot of time.
Well, but I'm not going back to January.
Okay, cool.
But definitely Mission Impossible was up there.
Yeah.
You know, it really exceeded my expectations and I had high expectations. RBG to me was a purely inspirational movie about, I think, a very inspirational, strong woman.
Which I believe is actually going to be on CNN
this
on
weekend.
Labor Day. Yeah.
Oh, good.
So I really love that movie a lot. Also, I like Black Klansman.
Yep.
But I also have to put in an honorable mention to A Quiet Place, which came out mid-April.
Yeah.
I wanted to go early April, but you made that cutoff. But A Quiet Place, too. You know, horror is on a great cycle right now. And I think A Quiet Place really reinvigorated the genre and got people to go see what's effectively a silent movie. And they did it really well. My biggest disappointment, I think, was probably the movie Tag, which I was really looking forward to.
I'd completely forgotten about that.
Which I was really looking forward to as a comedy, because I felt comedies were just starting to get good again with movies like Game Night and Blockers. I thought Tag was going to continue this. And while I laughed, I felt that they really, really cheated badly at the end. And it was a one-joke movie that they tried to elevate, but it wasn't fully executed. I had higher expectations for it, and that was probably a movie that I was disappointed in.
Yeah, that's fair. 3 favorites of mine. 3 favorites were actually quite difficult, and a lot of them weren't sort of major blockbuster movies. Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. I thought stylistically was absolutely brilliant, the best thing that Spike Lee's done for the longest time, and I'm so glad that it's got an audience. It is still in theatres, so you can go and see that this weekend. Mission Impossible Fallout, I think everybody's pretty much agreed that that was just a kick-ass movie this year. Mm-hmm. Everything. I mean, I'm a big Tom Cruise fan anyway, but it just delivered, and really, it's very rare to be on the edge of your seat in a movie these days, especially when you've seen so much stuff in the trailers, but that really did. That was a thrilling movie. Absolutely. Everything you said that you liked about it, I liked exactly the same things. And nobody mentioned Skyscraper. I loved Skyscraper. Skyscraper was a great summer movie. For me, delivered as a summer movie in ways that so many other movies simply didn't. I mean, there were other movies that are like Upgrade. I loved Book Club. You know, there were so many movies that really, really tickled me. Game Night and Blockers, both great comedies, but they didn't quite... Comedy wasn't really strong for me this year.
See, for me it was, but those don't fall into summer movies.
Right. Yeah, they were just outside.
They were just outside. Because my other one, you know, the other movie that brought a pure grin on my face was Ready Player One from beginning to end.
That's just outside.
But again, that's just outside.
I love Ready Player One.
And the other movies that you talk about, like Jurassic World, I had a really good time. Like,
I enjoyed it.
But again, when I was looking at the movies, you said three favorites.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough.
I think it's been a fun... All in all, I give this summer a thumbs up for movie-going enjoyment.
It's been a lot more different stuff out there.
Absolutely.
Well, my disappointment, it was a tie between Happy Time Murders, which I had fun with, but it really wasn't what I was hoping it would be.
We've been waiting 10 years for that.
Ten years. You know, I just wanted it to have the courage of its convictions, and it simply didn't. And Hereditary. Huge disappointment for me this year. What we were promised was going to be this brilliantly innovative and original movie. I found it to be wildly derivative. I found a lot of this. I saw the ending coming like a fucking mile away. It was a big disappointment for me. I don't know whether that says me by the fact that my mind's racing ahead with movies or not. I don't know. I was really disappointed. One of the films I was really looking forward to, and it just simply didn't deliver for me. Okay, we did a 12-hour poll yesterday on the Twitter feed for the show at Meet Movie Press. The 12-hour poll was, which of the following movies hitting theatres in September are you most looking forward to? Now, people said, why didn't you list everything? Why didn't you list a none of them option? Unfortunately, Twitter only gives you four things that you can mention, so there are some major movies that I didn't get to mention, but the four I picked was The Nun, The Predator, White Boy Rick, and Blaze, obviously, which is Ethan Hawke's directorial debut.
He did the movie that takes place in the hotel in Soho.
You're right. Yeah. But anyway, Ethan Hawke is helming this one. So the options were The Nun, which comes out next Friday. So in last place was The Blaze, with a staggering 0%, which is a bit awkward. White Boy Rick, 20%. Then in second place was The Nun with 23%. And the runaway winner, 57%, or 90%, as Donald Trump would say, the Predator. Which obviously is going to premiere at Toronto this week, which is great. I'm very happy to say that I'm going to be seeing both The Nun and The Predator, possibly a third movie that starts with The on Tuesday, which is after the four-day weekend, which brings us, and there'll be some more polls during the week next week, so if you're not already following at Meet Movie Press on Twitter, please do so. We're going to very quickly, Anthony, can we get just a couple more minutes on the show? Can we get 5 minutes? Yeah, cool. Okay, we're going to go through the movie releases, the big movie releases for the Labor Day weekend. I was saying to Jamita before the show that this is a Labor Day weekend. There's usually a big movie coming out. I can't remember the last time that there wasn't a big movie coming out over Labor Day weekend, which is weird because you've got Peppermint coming out next week. I was saying should have shifted that forward.
Yeah.
Weird, really strange. So the releases that we've got this week, The Little Stranger, and Kin are not going to bother the top 10 by any stretch.
Probably.
I don't think anybody's seen Kin. You saw Kin.
I saw Kin, saw Little Stranger.
Okay, very briefly, tell us about those.
Very briefly. Plot-wise, or do you want to just know my opinion?
Opinions on them.
Kin is good. It's okay. It could have used a little bit more fun. But I really like the things that they're setting up in there and the things that they do.
Right.
There's some really good genre stuff in there.
Okay.
It has a really great ending. which I'm not going to talk about. But I really like that they're doing a male chosen hero sort of story that doesn't look like the same male chosen hero that we've seen time and time again. So it's different than that. And it's really great performances from the actors.
Yep.
So that's Kin. The Little Stranger, I did not like at all. I found very confusing.
The trailer was great. I was really looking for something atmospheric.
Great actors.
Yeah.
And they give really good performances, but I was confused a lot of the time, and I feel like I'm a very smart person when trying to figure out the narrative. But it took us like six people after to be like, what was going on, to finally get a sort of distilled version of what happened. And even if you know what's going on the entire time, if you're clued into everything, which I don't know how you would be, but if you are, it's kind of plotting. It's really all about the atmosphere. And I like the gothic genre, and I get that, but it's just really stretched out. And there's some twists in there that are pretty clever, but overall, it's a pass. You've got better things to do with your time.
So it's really a case of, by trying to create a clever plot, what they've just done is make it really, really complicated.
It's very complicated. But from what I've heard, the book is really ambiguous and sort of complicated as well.
Oh, so I love ambiguity and complication when I read a book.
It's
my favorite genre.
Chapter one. Motherfuck?
Yeah.
Destination Wedding also comes out this weekend, which... You have to look for this movie. It's Keanu Reeves and it's Winona Ryder. And seriously, I have no idea why this movie is being hidden under a bush. It is one of the best films I've seen this year. It is so sharp and funny, and they are genius together. Whose idea it was to hide this movie is just, I don't know.
Well, isn't it going
seriously?
Isn't it going on
it's
VOD?
It's limited release and VOD, but
that's why.
There is literally nothing to tell anyone that this movie is coming out.
Right.
And it's one of the best films of the year.
It is hilarious. And like you said, so sharp, so witty, so funny.
And
those
both
two
great.
Are fantastic. If you didn't already know from seeing Dracula and A Scanner Darkly. But, like, they're great together. They're banter. They've got a great repartee. The way that the director uses extras and other people in the scene so that it doesn't feel like it's just only those two is just brilliant and genius. I really don't know why this is getting buried.
They are two of my favorite screen assholes since, like, When Harry Met Sally.
Sure.
I mean, it is up there with films like that, some of Woody Allen's best movies. It is a brilliantly constructed movie. And I don't think anybody's going to see it. So seriously, if you want to do yourself a favor this weekend, go find Destination Wedding. It is absolute genius. Mm-hmm. It's a 5-star movie for me.
Right.
It's
really
seriously. Yeah. It is just brilliant.
Okay.
Operation Finale, which is also out this week, is probably the largest release. We got Searching going wide this weekend. Mm-hmm. Did really well in previews last
Searching's
night.
Searching's great.
Searching, very, very popular. Probably likely to be the second movie this weekend, actually. Mm-hmm. Operation Finale, which is the latest movie from Chris Weitz. I spoke to Chris recently for Reuters, actually. On a side note, obviously, he was behind the American Pie movie, co-directed that one, the first one, and has been exec producing the other ones. He was saying that actually he thinks it's the ideal time for another American Pie. Been a lot of talk about that recently. He won't be involved, but he's very much behind it if they want to do it. Operation Finale is about finding Adolf Eichmann. Oscar Isaac plays basically the Nazi hunter, leading a load of Mossad agents. So Ben Kingsley plays Eichmann. This film I was not expecting to be anything particularly interesting, but seriously, the acting in this is just the scenes between Oscar Isaac and Sir Ben Kingsley. They're the best Oscar Isaac has ever been, and they are the best that Ben Kingsley has been in the longest time. It is just absolutely just, it feels like an old movie.
Okay.
The performances, it is very classic. It is absolutely captivating. Apart from the two women who sat next to me in the press screening and were on their phones all the way through. One woman had two phones.
Two.
Because one isn't enough.
Oh my God.
And apparently the assassination of of Jews in a Ditch is a great time to check your Instagram feed. Sorry, it was too boring for you.
One of those phones is a burner.
Seriously, it was just terrible. It was just terrible. Ugh. That I complain. I very rarely complain to the PRs, but I complained about that. It did take me out of some of the really intense scenes in this movie. But Operation Finale, I don't think it would be a massive box office hit. It's looking at 9 million for the 4-day weekend, so probably top 10, but not very high up.
But it'll be one to catch up with.
It'll be one to catch up with. And it's likely to be in the top 5 just this weekend. It won't be in theaters for long. It's the kind of movie you can catch at home. But seriously, Operation Finale is a brilliantly, superbly executed drama.
Well,
it's really good.
Destination Wedding.
So the weekend this weekend is looking like Crazy Rich Asians is going to be top again this weekend. Meg is going to be another hold strong over. Mission Impossible is going to be probably top 3 again. Christopher Robin Searching is going to be in there, and Operation Finale then in the 5 somewhere. So it's a pretty strong weekend. So it's looking pretty good. So Courtney, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Hopefully, I represented feminism okay.
Well,
you represented humanity, okay, good.
But obviously, you realize that when we have a woman on the show, you therefore speak for all women.
Okay, good. I just want to make
so you are clear on that. For the last hour, you've been the official.
You should have led the show with that.
Should the official voice of all women being one. Right. No, I'm kidding. Seriously, it's great. We're really trying to get more diversity on the show.
Great. I think that's a brilliant idea.
Here's an idea. If you actually enjoy being on the show, which hopefully you have, do spread the word and tell your
fellow female
journalists that we would love to have them on the show.
Sure.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I know the audience responded really well to it. It's really nice to get more representation.
As long as the audience is amenable, then sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, without them, we wouldn't be here. And they're all still here. They're chatting away.
Yay!
So, especially,
they didn't leave.
Especially Fishman Dildo, who's never been so active, which is amazing.
How you doing?
So Courtney, where can we find you on social media and where can we find your work?
Okay, so you can find me at Lila Mae Bell on Twitter and Instagram too. And then my work is at freshfiction.tv, and I'm also a Rotten Tomato approved critic too, so I have my own little page there.
And the great thing about Rotten Tomatoes is the fact that they're actually going to be adding new voices.
Yes.
So shows like this one will soon be counting towards Rotten Tomatoes, which is great.
Great.
Dimitri, who are you for those that don't know, and where can we find you? And tell us about Anatomy of the Movie.
Anatomy of a Movie on the Popcorn Talk Network. Today, we will be talking about Happy Time Murders.
Oh.
Yes, disappointment. But there's still a lot of talk to talk about the creation of that film. You can support me on Twitter at DMovies1701, and you can always find me here at Meet the Movie Press. It really is a privilege to be here next to you fine people. I like it, and the audience has been fantastic. Simon, kudos to you for leading.
Always
I think
a pleasure.
The best show of its ilk about the business. Truly, I think the audience will agree with me, the most entertaining. We laugh, we can poke fun at each other, but we take our topics very seriously, and we know, well, you know what you're talking about. I almost know what I'm talking about.
Well, we actually get a lot of feedback from the audience, and they certainly say that of all the shows called Meet the Movie Press that are available on the Popcorn Talk Network, we're very much the best one.
That's all.
Which is great. So Sky Patterson saying, nice to see you here, Courtney Howard.
Hashtag
Meet the Movie Press. So you're very welcome to come back anytime.
Great.
Fishman Dildo says, Simon is the best. I think Fishman Dildo's drunk and needs to go home. But I do appreciate the endorsement. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter. I have a Facebook page. This is Simon Thompson. Thank you so much for watching the show. We're going to be back again next week. Now, like I say, at Meet Movie Press, get in touch with us. We love to have you talk on the show. Get in the chat afterwards. Comment on the video. But more importantly, if you like the show and you want more people to know about it, to increase the conversation, please do like, subscribe, retweet, share the links. Tell everybody else they should be watching the show, because without the audience, there's no point in us being here.
True.
So it's very much, we love doing it, but without you, there is no point. So we appreciate your support. We appreciate you spreading the word. And if you can't watch live, you can always watch it back afterwards or subscribe on iTunes. And feel free to leave a review. We really appreciate that. Feedback always welcome. Have a great weekend. Watch lots of movies over the 4-day weekend if you're here in the US of A. Otherwise, get to work on Monday. You need to earn some money, you lazy, lazy man. Have a good one.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.